This is Dave Rabbit. My partner Johnny Anonymous and I are the hosts of the ATS Mix Show on AboveTopSecret.com. Along with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock with the BTS Mix, and Martin Bain and Homer Fife with the Above Politics Show, we have all made it extremely easy to subscribe to all of our shows. Each show thread now has two shortcuts where, when clicked, will take you to an area where you can either download the shows with iTunes or with our RSS feed. Remember, your subscription helps bring our intelligent community to the entire world. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Johnny Anonymous and yours truly, Dave Rabbit. Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Homer Five. Be part of the revolution. Above Network, LLC.
Now,
here we go.
This is an ATS Mix Special Edition.
And welcome to the premiere of the first annual AboveTopSecret.com's staff party.
Yay!
Yay! Yahoo! Yahoo!
More wine! More wine!
That blows. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the ATS Mix Special Edition. We called it a special edition because none of the three shows wants to claim it, more than likely. And we have with us online all six of the hosts of the ATS Media Team, Johnny Anonymous, myself, Dave Rabbit. We have the illustrious Doc Hancock.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have Spencer Tracy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
We have Homer Fife.
Hi there from down south.
And we have Martin Bain from the UK.
You left me till last.
The best for last.
Yeah, so we've got everybody. We've got the gamut, and assuming that we can make it through the entire show without calling each other by our real names, it'll be great. So, all right, let's get this started, guys. You know, Johnny and I, we always do a traditional end-of-the-year show, which this is not. But we like, taking, like, some of the bits and the gags and some of the things that we goofed up on. And I'm just curious. You know, I mean, my Lord, I think, Spencer, aren't you and Doc, you're coming in, your 36 show's already done, you're coming up on your 37th, is that right?
Yeah. And actually we like took a couple of weeks off, so I guess about, we've been doing this for about 38, 39 weeks now.
All right, so all right. Here's a question. I mean, obviously, for those that don't know, I had the undying task of, developing Above Politics and the BTS Mix Show, and it went through a process and whatever. And so anyway, Spencer and ended up being the great guys that everybody's enjoyed. So here's my question.
Hey, Doc.
Yes, sir. What did I say? Doc? Who gives a rat's buttocks at this stage? I'm never going to get it right because I've got the real names popped up. And I didn't have time to make a sticky note, and I had no more room on my monitor. Anyway, Doc and Spencer, going on 38, 39 weeks, what was it like when you guys were first? I know how it was for Johnny and I, but what was it like when you guys first started out as far as, trying to get used to each other and whatever?
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. And I don't think a lot of people, when they listen to the podcast realize this, and I think we're all in the unique situation, but, you've got that whole thing where, I'm in New York here and Spencer's out in West Texas. And so that's kind of bizarre geographically. And then, you kind of go through that process, that honeymoon process of figuring out each other's timing and when they end the sentence. I know it sounds really weird, but you find out that inflection that says, the sentence has ended, I get to talk now. And so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, Spencer and I've just had a great time, and well, I won't speak for Spencer when I say that, but I know I've had a great time.
Spencer?
No, I have too. It's been great. When you chose us for this, I had just decided to make my switch from PC to Mac. And then I had to decide, okay, what kind of software? And I actually would spend all day at work, and then I would come in and spend about 8 hours just trying to make something happen between Skype and the software. And so the learning curve for me was like compressed down to almost a week and a half. And then getting to know Doc and building that relationship, because really, I mean, when you're talking with somebody on a podcast, that relationship, that friendship that you have, Doc and I have actually never met in person. All we've all, right. we, you know, done some video stuff and stuff like that, but we've never really met in person. We'll probably change that. Either he'll make a trip to West Texas or I'll make a trip to New York City. But it's sometimes a challenge, like he said, trying to get the inflection right, knowing when to say, but you know, editing fixes quite a bit of that. But it was a hit the ground running sort of thing for us.
Well, you know, let's go to Martin. Martin, you know, I mean, you're kind of in the unusual situation in that you're the only host of one of the media shows to where you've had to literally work with two people. And I know when you and Justin Kay started working together, that had to have been some trials and tribulations, didn't it?
Oh, there were some fun with that. When A, we were 9 hours apart, and B, we have some different ideas about how to do things. But I think it worked out. And, you know, I got to say, we spend a lot of time just online, just talking to each other, understanding what we did. I suppose I was lucky initially, Dave, in that you did the initial post-production and then Justin very generously picked that up. So I'd have to reiterate, my learning curve on editing was pretty quick and rapid as well. But, you know, fortunately, there's a good team here. So I was lucky. You know, you certainly gave me a lot of help and a lot of pointers. So, but it's been good fun. I've enjoyed it. And yeah, it was, you know, disappointing Justin moved on. But, you know, I'm lucky. I got on board, and he and I have a huge amount of time.
And I, yeah, you mean that Homer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
It's so easy to do. It ain't gonna matter.
I mean, it's not gonna matter. What are they gonna do? Look up in the, what are they gonna Google and find, you know, what, 50 million? You know,
I'm just really looking forward to hearing how this comes out in production. But I'm really looking forward to whoever it is that does post production on this.
Oh, thank you. You know it's me, so knock it off, John. All right. So anyway, here's the thing that I'm curious about. How was it? You know, I mean, you're involved with Justin Case, and then all of a sudden that scenario happens, and then we do this kind of this mini find and interview some people and whatever, and then you make your decision on Homer 5. So. How? What happens at that stage then?
I probably go, golly, I've got to learn a few things. I think a lot of it was just finding someone that you, just by listening to them, you felt comfortable with them. And you thought, hang on a minute, you can talk about some serious issues, but you can inject some fun into this. And that was probably what I was looking for. You know, and I'm really lucky that we got Homer on board, because he and I, just like I'm sure you guys do, we have so much laughs, you know, so much stuff that never makes it into the show, that things we say outside of the show that, you know, fortunately they remain on my laptop and Homer's laptop.
Yeah. All right, Homer, how, you know, I mean, here you go, you're brought in, and obviously you've done some podcasts yourself, and you've been on a show or two with us as a moderator. And so what was the process when you first get hooked up with your buddy over there in the United Kingdom with Martin? And I mean, you know, what did you go through when you were trying to get all this stuff together?
Well, be honest, Dave, I came in completely considering myself to be the Rush Limbaugh of this entire adventure. but no, all seriousness aside, it took a little while to get comfortable talking to me. It was just talking and knowing I was being recorded. Martin, however, was fantastic. We clicked right off, became friends. I think that made it a lot easier. And of course, you know, me bringing the professionalism that, okay, I'll stop and get on a serious note. But the help is people, I think, behind the scenes don't realize how much we do help each other through this whole process. And again, I will mimic Martin in the fact that we need to thank goodness that the things that are on his laptop and on my computer stay there and aren't aired for everybody to listen to.
And speaking of goodness, let's bring goodness on out. Hi, goodness, come on out.
Goodness.
Well, I mean, Johnny can probably tell you some scary stories about he and I.
We don't have enough time.
Yeah, we don't have enough time. But, you know, John, you and I talked before we brought the guys online. You had a question or something you wanted to ask them, didn't you?
Well, you know, here it is, being part of the holiday season, and I was just kind of curious. I was going to kind of get into a little bit of a personal, you know, bit here, try to find out a little bit about our co-host of our sister shows that we have here at ATS, and kind of find out perhaps what kind of embarrassing or strange worst moment they had during the holidays. And I was just going to try to find out what perhaps was a disaster for them in the holidays. Not necessarily what's happened on the show,
but just in a personal realm, so we kind of get to know a little bit more about our co-host in our sister shows. So I thought I'd ask our BTS Mix host if they could relate possibly one of the weirdest or worst events that happened in this holiday season. And it doesn't have to be this year. It could be in a past year.
Somebody died, Johnny, but thanks for asking.
Okay. Next question. Oh,
yeah, so much for the upbeat part of the show.
Moving on.
Actually, you know, I think that during the holiday season, I was driving up north. Well, up north for us is like Lubbock, Texas, around the holidays one year. And there's there's nothing but open cotton fields between where I live and like Lubbock. There's nothing there. It's a little bit foggy on Thanksgiving morning, and I'm making this drive and I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I see this shade come out of the fog and just start running toward me. And it's a like a 6-point buck and just hits. I mean, it's about to jump, so it's about to go through the windshield of the truck. But instead, it slips on the because the road was a little wet. Its feet slip out from under it, and I hit this thing and just spin it down the side of the truck. But first, it has to go into the engine block, take out the battery, take out the radiator. So I'm sitting on the side of the road here with deer crap down the side of my truck, and waiting for the DPS or some poor soul to come and get me and help. And so I the DPS guy finally shows up, and I say, well, you know, what are we going to do with this deer? And he goes, well, I don't know. You got somebody that can process it? Yeah, sure. So I start skinning. I'm sure the people that were taking their kids into Lubbock at this point are freaking out because I'm gutting this deer on this. Because, what am I going to do? I can't go anywhere. The truck's broken. So I'm gutting this deer inside the median of both lanes as we wait for a tow truck to come.
Oh, man. All right, Doc.
Man, that was some mighty good-tasting jerky.
Yeah, really. Doc, what about you?
Oh, geez. Well, let me see.
It's always weird stuff happening in New York. So, this ought to be a no-brainer for you. Just step outside.
I gutted a homeless man in the middle of
Third Avenue. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's good jerky, too.
Yeah, I'll need your address.
Did you use those new Ronco knives that they have out now?
And they are fantastic, ever sharp. Yeah. First, I cut through a lead
pipe, then
I
went into
the homeless man.
Yeah, he was already marinated. That's a good one. I like that.
Jeez. No, last year we had a kind of a company Christmas party, and they had an open bar there, which is always a bad idea. But they were serving a Macallan 12-year-old scotch, which is just one of my favorites. And I perhaps partook in a few too many and began to think that I was a pirate. And so I was out speaking pirate to people on the street and saying, and this one guy played along with me and said that he was indeed a pirate. And I ended up having like a half hour conversation with him about pirating. That was kind of disastrous, but fun all in the same regard.
Wow.
Was he pirating music?
He had a Skull and Crossbones belt buckle on, so it really threw me for a loop. You know? Because he said, yeah, I am a pirate. And I said, really? No kidding.
Maybe, Doc, maybe he was a trouser pirate.
Oh, but I'm bummed.
Well, I did wake up in a weird living room the next morning.
With a lampshade on my head, yeah.
I don't know.
What about you, Martin?
I suppose, see, we don't have this thing of holiday starting from sort of the middle of November going through till Christmas, so I suppose we have to just put up with the normal Christmas stuff. So I suppose my only sort of in the past was a very good friend of mine for 5 Christmases on the trot. He used to come out drinking with me on Christmas Eve, and he never had Christmas dinner with his family for 5 Christmases until his wife put his foot down and said we weren't allowed to go out drinking anymore.
Wow.
That was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
I've had some absolute adventures on Christmas, as you can imagine, knowing my profession. But
Do they involve handcuffs?
Oh, yeah, most of them do, absolutely. But moving out of that realm, because probably some of the stories that I could tell you won't be aired, I'm going to relate back to an anniversary of mine in which we had some romantic stuff set up and some champagne and wonderful music in the background, and all of a sudden the phone rings. And who is it? Well, it's Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, right in the middle of my anniversary, calling me to interview about one of their shows.
Well, it was a mating ritual, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's actually become a ritual now. We sit around on our anniversary and we wait for the phone to ring.
Always leave them wanting more. All right, well, now I guess it's time for us to find out. Of course, I'm leaving pretty much the best for last here, or second to the last. So, David, Senior Rabbit, what was your most embarrassing or worst holiday moment?
present or past.
I don't know if I would consider. Well, I tell you what, a worst moment is, and it was holiday, but it was back when I was in the military. I was stationed at a base called in Biloxi, Mississippi. What the hell was it? Then? It doesn't matter. It was a base in Biloxi, Mississippi. I was going to tech school there right after I got in the Air Force, and I was really gung-ho, John Wayne mentality, all that stuff. And they had this big, fancy party that they were going to do for the rear admiral that was in the Navy fleet and all this other stuff that were coming on the base. So they had this real fancy thing. All the officers are dressed in all these whites and all their ribbons and stuff. I mean, it's like Washington, D.C. scenario. And I'm this little one-stripe airman at the time. And I'm sitting in the back, and I'm serving punch and doing all this stuff. And they had a big band up there that people were dancing, whatever. And the band takes a break, and all of a sudden I hear the guy on the microphone say, "Hey, we need someone to help move the piano." So, you know, being gung-ho, my colonel was there and everything, and I go, "Hey, you know, I can move the piano." And so I go down the little walkway there, and everybody starts applauding me and stuff. And I'm going, what the hell? I'm thinking, you know, what are they applauding me for? You know? So I hop up on the stage, and like I said, there was probably maybe 1,400, 1,800 officers and their wives there. And so I go over to the piano, and I reach down to grab the piano bench, and I kind of look to the right to the guy, and I said, "Okay, where do you want to move it?" And he puts his hand over the microphone. He says, "Move it, hell, we want you to play it." And I said, "I can't play the piano." I said, "I thought you said you want someone to move the piano." He says, "No, we want someone to play the piano while the band's taking a break." I went, "Oh, my God." So here's, you know, 1,800 officers and their wives looking up, expecting me to sit there and play the piano. And I said, "I cannot do this." And so then he starts laughing, and then he turns to the audience and says, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, Airman Rabbit misunderstood. He thought I wanted him to move the piano." Of course, everybody is just falling out of their chairs, laughing or whatever, as I scurry off the stage back to the back to serve punch. So that was my absolute most embarrassing moment ever in the holidays. John?
Well, mine is, although it could be very lengthy, in fact, I've told it at times lasting up to 40 minutes long. I'll try to condense it down. I had a date for the holidays, and it was going to be the first time that although I had met this woman several times before, we'd never actually gone out on a date, and we decided we were going to go out. And it was kind of a preliminary date to kind of see if we would kind of match up with one another. And so I took her to a lake up here in the California gold country, up at a alpine lake for that matter. And we're driving around, we're enjoying each other. We did the paddle boat thing on the lake, the whole deal. So now the it's starting to get close to evening. Sun hasn't quite gone down yet. We're starting to drive out of the park, away from the lake. And here is this little baby squirrel in the middle of the road, just running around in circles, just running around in circles. And little did I know that the young lady that I was with is also a veterinarian and a dog groomer. And how those two merge, I don't know, but they did for some reason. And she says, "Oh, no, we have to help this poor little squirrel." And I'm, you know, of course, that was the last thing. That was not the squirrel.
I was trying to help you.
Yes, that was not what exactly. So, OK, sure. Fine. So we pull over the car, and here's a little squirrel just running in circles. And she goes, "Oh, poor little thing. I think its back is broken, and that's why it's running around in circles." And I go, "Well, what would you like to do with the little squirrel?" And she says, "Well, we have to put it out of its misery." And I go, "Well, how do you propose we do this? I'm looking at these large stones on the side of the road, and I'm thinking, hey, I got a big stone here. I'll just pop it on there. Goodbye, squirrel. Onward with the date." And she goes, "Well, let's put it to sleep." And I'm thinking, well, you know, Johnny doesn't have a medical kit in his car anymore back as he did when he was in the 20s. So what is your suggestion here? And she goes, "Well, let's asphyxiate it." Okay, how do you propose it? "Well, do you have like a bag?" "Well, yes, I have a bag." She goes, "Let's put the squirrel in the bag." And so we put the squirrel in the bag. And then she says, "Now let's go to the back of the car." And so we go to the back of the car. And she says, "Now I want you to put the bag over the exhaust pipe." "Okay, sure. Okay, great." So here's this little squirrel, and just for sound effect means the little squirrel is in the bag. You know, so that'll be the sound of the squirrel in the bag.
So I put it on there, and of course, my car has been running now for about the past 10, 11, 12 minutes. The exhaust pipe has gotten a little warm, and I'm burning the crap out of my hands holding the bag around. And I go, you know, I can't do this. I need to get a clog because my hands are burning. And she goes, well, he'll die pretty soon. He's going to go to sleep. And I go, okay, great. So I grab a cloth, a towel, wrap it around my hands. And so here I am. I'm holding the squirrel in a bag over the exhaust pipe. We're knelt down. People are passing by honking the horn. Beep, beep. What are these guys doing? Are they inhaling? Because they don't know there's a damn squirrel in the bag. They just see two people leaning down over the exhaust pipe of this turbo Eclipse that he's driving. And all the time that this is going, the squirrel is still just going nuts in this bag. So for 15 damn minutes, we're trying to put the thing to sleep. Now, the only thing that was really going to sleep was my high hopes of anything happening later on with my date, because I'm thinking I'm going to get this nutcase back to her house and I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. Nothing's going to be happening tonight. I know this. So all the time, you know, and I'm going, this damn squirrel will not die. And so finally I go, look, this ain't working. And she goes, oh, give it another try. So we give it another 10 minutes. All right. Well, now I'm pretty much asphyxiated. I'm about ready to pass out, you know, from the fumes coming out of the bag and everything. There's this huge stone. I go, look, I'm so sorry, my dear, but I'm going to put it out of its misery the best way I know how. So there's this stone over here that's probably, I don't know, about 2 feet long by a foot tall, probably weighed 50, 60 pounds. And I'm thinking, baby squirrel, 56-pound rock. Job done. I walk over, I put the bag down on the ground. It's just going like nuts still as the squirrel's running around the bag. I pick up this huge stone, almost give myself a hernia, and drop it on this bag. And of course she's crying. She's got tears strolling down her eyes. Poor little squirrel. And so I'm ready to get in the car. Let's go. And she goes, no, we have to check to make sure you killed it. And I'm going, it's a 50, 60-pound rock. This thing's dead. I roll the rock over. This damn squirrel is still alive in this bag. I open up the bag to look at this damn squirrel, and one of his eyes has popped out of the socket from the pressure of the rock popping up, but his good eye is staring right up at me as his little legs are going. I'm going,
I shall be avenged.
It's this damn squirrel. It will not die. I take this rock back up. I go, boom, boom, boom. Three times. I go, that's got to do it. I rolled it. I was like, it's still moving in the damn bag. And she looks at me, is it dead? I go, yes, dear, let's go. And I put the rock back on top of that bag. My apologies to any animal lovers. Who knows? For all I know, 12 years later, that squirrel could still be in that bag.
I have no idea, you know, who you are.
You know,
that bag, it's scary. Still be staring up at you.
Well, this is the guy I work with, you know?
You know what? This would make a great Halloween story. And then one night, it's Johnny lay in his bed.
The squirrel would not
die. He heard it on across his kitchen floor.
The squirrel that would not die.
That's right. And, of course, I never did not only did I not get appropriately thanked that evening by the young lady, we never saw each other again. And so that's my horror story.
Wow. That's a great story. I don't know if anybody could top that. All right. Well, one last question, and then we're going to kind of wrap it up, guys, because Martin has early morning, and we want to be sure that he stays on it for the entire thing. And that is, you know, I think, you know, I'll say this just on behalf of me. You know, I'm very proud of everybody, you know, and that obviously includes my partner, Johnny. But I'm very proud of the sister shows, because you've taken a daunting task, basically, and you've turned it into something that's not only interesting, but that has bits of humor and more humor, obviously, in the BTS mix than Above Politics. But bits of humor and your personalities, I think, have really gelled to such a point that people really look forward to hearing you guys and the shows. And, you know, it's just done nothing but bring more and more people to BuffTopSecret.com and made them aware of the media team. But, you know, what do you – I just a quick question for each of you, and then we'll wrap this up. And I'll start with Martin, since you're the farthest away. Where do you see the Politics show going in 2009? Where would you and Homer like to see it go?
Oh,
being absolutely arrogant, we'd like to interview a president of the United States for the show. That's where we want to go. No, I just think it's more just trying to bring more politics outside of the UK and the US to the ATS membership. That's really the kind of thing I want to try and do. And, you know, Homer and I are desperately trying to get people from all around the world. And that, to me, is the real key, is trying to get away from just making it US and UK centric.
Right. And you have been working trying to get new reporters that are in different countries to join you guys and give reports from their political standpoints, have you not?
Yeah, and we're very lucky. We got Expert 11, who is in New Zealand, and Neff covers the UK, and then we get something from Canada. But, you know, hey, it's an opportunity to do a shameless plug, but we just want more people to be involved in the shows. You know, that's something that Homer and I really, really enjoy doing, is getting pieces in, not really knowing what they're going to be until we listen to them, doing a little bit of editing and putting them straight out on the show.
Right. All right, Homer, how about you? What's your hopes for the show for you guys?
To rival Rush Limbaugh again.
I expect him to run over him.
Well, hey, look, he's my hero. I mean, he is my personal hero, and I expect to get a call from him any day to co-host his show. But that being said, I can only mimic what Martin said. This part of, or that part of the show absolutely fascinates me. We get these inputs from, again, Expert 11 or Chisler or Neffermore from these different countries, and, of course, the aspect that Martin brings to the show. I'm just not that familiar with the politics that are more worldly than what I've been exposed to here in the United States. So that just absolutely fascinates me, and I hope that our listeners enjoy it even half as much as I do. And I'd like to see more of that. And again, more interviews, and we're aggressively going out and trying to get interviews from people, and I expect that to take off. So I'd like to see more of that.
Wow, great. All right, now the BTS Mix boys. Spencer, let's start with you since you're kind of lead host there. Where do you want to see the BTS Mix going in 2009?
Well, I think that you know, we're kind of on that track now, just to grow what we've got. I agree that having members involved in the show always adds something wonderful to the show, and we've had some great members. Lombozo has put some information in. A lot of our different people that write in every week and love the show, we love to hear from them. Also, you know, more celebrities. You know, we had a taste of some of those. We'd like to get more of those on in the next year. And, of course, you know, just kind of continue down the road that we're going. I think the show's kind of going in the right direction, don't you, Doc?
I'd like to see more dancing girls. That's
yeah. And dead squirrels.
And dead squirrels. And I'd like some photographs of Spencer gutting that buck in the middle of the freeway. I think that would be really fun. No, I mean, I think I agree. And, you know, my only goal is that, you know, sometimes these shows come up really fast. You know, the weeks just kind of fly by. And before you know it, you're doing the next show and the next show. And, you know, I definitely want to focus more on, you know, bringing the members on board, because I know we have a great time with them and they have a great time with us. And, you know, just kind of keep pushing that end of it and you know, having fun with the whole BTS crowd. It's a good time.
Hey, Johnny, go ahead and give what your aspirations are for us for 2009, and then I'll end it.
I would just like to be able to do a couple of future short intros with not a lot of retakes.
Such a jerk. I swear.
And then my year will be complete.
Hey, can I throw something in here, guys?
Oh, please. Sure, we'd love you to throw something in.
Okay.
Is it a rat? Okay. Is it a squirrel?
No. It's not a dead squirrel. You know, I've listened to the new hosts, and you guys have done a great job on Above Politics. Johnny, I got to give you kudos, because a lot of the investigation stuff, I mean, I know I've written you a few times to tell you, man, excellent job. But when you went out, you guys have done some real interesting stuff this year. I mean, look at the interviews you guys have had. Jesse Ventura, recently Jim Mars, Mitchell, the astronaut. I mean, just look back at the interviews you guys have done for the last year. You guys have hit home run after home run, and I don't think that we tell you enough that, you know, the show sounds great, and, you know, we're really impressed with the suction you guys have with getting these guests on, because we'd like some too. But no, really, you do a great job, and that's my suck up for now. Okay.
And well, they're really good looking guys. They're very muscular, well built. I think
geez, I see Christmas bonuses for you guys.
Yeah, really.
Suction was the right word.
Yeah, your suck up is the right word. Great. Wow. Well, to quote Johnny, that I am not going to touch that. I'm not editing nothing. I put it up wrong. I'm just gonna cut out. I want everybody to see how we really are when we don't edit.
ATS Mix raw and live.
All right. Well, you know, I'll end this thing up and just simply say that, you know, I've never been prouder of anybody in my life than I have been with the people that are on here with me right now. And I'd like to tell you individually, you know, Martin, you know, I really want to thank you publicly for everything that you've done and the contributions that you've made to the Above Politics show. You've done a marvelous job. You've had to go above and beyond simply from the standpoint of the 6 to 8, 10 hour difference time between you and the United Kingdom and whoever happened to be your host. So I can't thank you enough for that. And I want to also thank Homer for jumping in and really, I think, adding some significant intelligence to the Above Politics show that was desperately needed, in that you have the ability, Homer, to kind of do a little rant, and you know how much I love rants. But, you know, I think that gives you guys really a cutting edge. And now that you've got a new microphone, you sound even better, I might add.
Thank you. It was all due to you.
Because I kept bitching that your audio sucked. And the BTS Mix boys, I can't say enough about you guys. I mean, first off, Spencer, I mean, you know, I was totally impressed from the very first get-go when we were doing all the tryouts and stuff, and you and I have become friends and have physically met each other and played butt darts together with your lovely wife, Mo, and ate Mexican and margaritas, and I think you're a top-notch guy. I really value your friendship, really think you've done a marvelous job, and want to give you a tremendous bill of thanks, if you will, for the time that you contribute and the time that you dedicate. And, of course, your partner, your co-host, the f***inator, you know? I mean, the Bill Irvin guy, you know, the guy that kind of has the tights that don't fit and that has, speaking of blue balls.
You mean Doc?
Yeah, Doc and Doc and oh, you're smart ass.
Is it okay if we tell everybody your last name, since you're going to be doing some great production on this?
Will you stop it? Okay, I meant Doc. It's, you know, I don't have any more room for sticky notes. I'm looking at the pop-up monitor. It says,
sure. Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Not long. But anyway, Doc, your balance with Spencer, I think, has really been terrific. And what's really funny is sometimes you guys sound so much alike, I have to really think who it is, especially when you start the show sometimes. Spencer was starting it a few times, and then all of a sudden you were starting it, and I'm going, wait a minute, what the hell is this? And so anyway, congratulations to you guys. I mean, you know, just you've done a marvelous job and really have a huge following, as do the Above Politics guys. And then last but not least, and then I'm going to go into post-production and try to get rid of the F-bombs and everything else I've screwed up on this thing before. I want to thank...
Leave the F-bombs in. It's Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, we got to stay FCC compliant.
You know, it's only around the Christmas times that you can get away by saying jingle balls all in one sentence.
Jingle balls. Anyway, and I tell him this privately all the time, but... When I had the opportunity to tell the amigos that, you know, I thought the ATS Mix show would be a lot better if it had two people, and that I had a partner in mind, and when I told them that it was Johnny Anonymous, and Johnny and I first started becoming friends and kind of learning a little bit about each other, I tell you, that was a decision that I look back on that I believe is a huge key to the ATS Mix working like it does, because it takes Johnny's analytical ideas to balance my fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants mentality. And I think it's just become a great radio marriage, and I can't thank you enough, John, for everything you've done this past year for me.
Well, thank you, and I'm just so glad that the my three predecessors that didn't make it this far you know, gave me the opportunity to be able to be number four on the list.
There was no predecessors. So thank you. You know, lying dog. You were my number one choice, bro. All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's all the time that we can mess up this time. We want to wish everybody, obviously, a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, How's Your Sister, and you know, Happy New Year. So on behalf of the ATS Mix, the BTS Mix, the Above Politics Show, and the Above Network LLC media team, we hope everybody has a great holiday, and we got some exciting things coming in 2009, so we hope everybody will stay with us.
Coming up on Al Jazeera, aspiring terrorists try their best to show they've got what it takes to blow themselves up and become the next Islamic idol. But they have trouble in front of Judge Simon Towell.
Okay, what's your name and what are you going to do?
My name is Akmar Mohammed and I'm going to blow myself up.
Off you go then.
Allah Akbar!
Oh, come on.
No, wait. Allah Akbar!
This is pathetic.
But it should work. I got the plans off the internet.
No, you're done. Thank you. Next.
Hello. My name is Abdullah Mohammed, and I'm going to...
Yes, get on with it.
Allah Akbar!
You called that an explosion?
I'm sorry.
A bloody firecracker.
It was all I could find.
A country full of Al-Qaeda, and you can't even come up with some C4.
I know I can do it. I know I have what it takes.
No, I don't think so. Get out. God, who else have we got?
Hello, my name is Mohammed Al-Mohammed Mohammed.
Right, off you go.
Allah Akbar!
Now that's more like it.
That's next time on Islamic Idol, only on Al Jazeera TV.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.